you know, sometimes life can be hard, and with this kind of a subject, I'll do a little lightheartedness before we get into the serious stuff. But aren't you glad you don't have to get down like that, Tia? Let's go to 1 Peter 5:7. And we've talked about this in some detail in the past, but I thought I'd do it again since, you know, with people, there's a generational change taking place. I'm in my early 60s, and so my parents and my wife's parents, you know, that generation is quickly passing on. And so with that comes a lot of trials. You know, Lisa lost her mother a month ago today, and then my mother died in August, back in August of last year, and so forth. And we're looking at Luann and Leah. So, you know, it's a reality of life that happens as we get older. Other times we may have health issues and so forth. So we have, all of us have trials. But I hope by the time we're done with this sermon today, you'll be able to look at trials with a different eye. And so we'll start here at 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety. Other translations say care. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. So the sort of playing off that word. Well, that's sort of the theme of what we'll be talking about. And then, I don't know about you, we've said this before. If I had my way, I would not want any trials, and I would opt for easy avenue or easy way. And like I said, the hard way, people, we can't help them anyway if they want it hard. But life is hard at times. It just is hard at times. And everybody in here knows that. If you've lost a mate or a child, or you've gone through a terrible divorce, or had terrible illnesses, or all this type of thing. Life can be hard, and yet we're told something. We've touched on it, but I want to spend a little more detail with it today. We're told this. My brethren, what did I do? Anyway, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials or temptations. We'll look at this in just a minute. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. So there's a lot of words that jump out at us in here. And when you, if you want to do a more in-depth Bible study, I would, it's free. I would strongly urge you to download into your computer the eSword. There's more complicated ones, but they offer you quite a bit. And when you're looking at a verse like this, look for words that jump out, that give a little, wow, I wonder what that means. And then try to look at these words as you put it together. How does one fit upon another? How do these words fit upon another? Because it says, count it all joy, or you can see here the figurative to deem, that is, consider. Consider it all joy, or to think of, or to suppose. So, in the word joy, in the Greek, is something quite interesting. What we'll try to do is tie all of these different words in together. I have simplified it because they talk about past participles, and this is the third person, blah, 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 all that technical stuff. Forget it. We get lost in that. But when we look at this, we're looking here at, for example, James 1, verse 2 through 3. You're aware of that. So you'll be looking at it in your scripture. But where it says count, that means consider. So when you're going through a trial, stop and consider or esteem or think. So that's pretty self-explanatory, but then we'll try to click this together. Now the problem is whenever we do go through a trial, it's a normal thing, but it's something we need to control and grow past in many respects. Is when we're going through a personal trial, no matter, you know, if it's health or a loved one or, you know, you name it, we tend to recede into ourselves for protection. And we don't want to do that. There's a certain time when you want to do that, but you don't want to recede from it. So consider it joy. Now what's this? Well, the word joy, as you see here, is the Greek word 5479. And then it sort of comes from, it's rooted in another word that they kind of bring, you might say like big, huge, and gigantic. if you're going to talk about that, all these words kind of interlace with each other to help you understand what the phrase is talking about. So in this case, joy, if you just read the English word joy, you're missing something, because you want to see that same word can mean cheerfulness in the Greek. See, English is not as vibrant or alive, I think, as Greek and Hebrew. Or with a calm delight. So when, says brethren, consider this now, when you are going through these difficulties, you need to consider what's going on. In other words, think about it, ponder it, then in calm delight, face it. Again, that sounds like, okay, that's from a movie somewhere. How do you do that? Well, that's why God gives us plenty of opportunities to learn this lesson as we go through life. So let's just sort of restate this, and I'll just be paraphrasing. My brethren, count it all, or consider it all, in a calm, delighted attitude when you fall into diverse trials. Now, temptations is a bad word. Trials is a better word. You see that in the original. Knowing, that's a key word, knowing. That's a statement of faith, when you know it. So you're saying here, have a quiet, calm joy, if you will, if it's on your face or if it's just in your mind, and you have this calm joy, this calm faith that you have. You think of Jesus before, when he was praying in the garden and his disciples were asleep, and he come back, why can't you stay awake with me just 1 hour? Though they were exhausted and they slept. And then when the soldiers came to arrest him, they said, well, who is this Jesus guy? And he says, I am he. He wasn't trying to run. He knew he had to face this. And he wasn't down about it. I mean, he had his times, of course, if you know about that. But he accepted in God's will this was for him. It's almost this calm delight. If you've had people who are in the church, they know the truth and they're dying. They go through a whole process, as anybody does. You get angry, you deny, you bargain with God, you do this, that, and the other thing. But as a Christian, we learn to say, there's a lot more than this to life. And we're experiencing that either in our families. I've lost my parents. My wife has lost that. She's lost her mother. This is life. And if things like this just devastate us, where we can't function for months on end, well, then we need to really reevaluate the depth of our faith and what is life about. It is about preparing us for eternity. So when it's sort of like saying here, what we're seeing so far is, when a trial comes, consider it with a calm and quiet attitude. Some would say calm and quiet spirit. Don't get into why. You forget, otherwise, you cannot be in this calm, faithful attitude. So, and this is pretty, shall we say, serious spiritual stuff that we'll be talking about today. So I just want to kind of introduce you to this, and then we'll move on here. And he continues, we talked about the easy way or hard way. It says, he just carries on this. Well, let me just go to the Bible here, and then we'll talk about these things here as well. James. Okay. I'm getting there. James. Verse 1. My brethren, consider it with a calm and quiet spirit. That's really what joy means. We looked at that. I'll back up so you can see it. When you fall into various trials, it says in the New King James, knowing, we talked about this as an act of faith, that the testing of your faith produces patience. So here we see, with a calm delight, it is necessary. It is necessary to go through trials. And I wish we had, prosperity gospel or whatever, then work that way. It is necessary. Why? Because we'll see that in this. And again, you see this word in last part of verse 3. There's a work that goes on. To fall into, and it says when you encounter problems, it can mean when you fall into something, that is when you fall around, in other words, you come upon a trial. Listen. All right. Now, James 1:3, knowing, there's the comment of faith, that that the trying of your faith works patience. And so we kind of break this down from the Vine's Concordance and other sources. And anyway, it says a prolonged form of primary verb and all that. I don't want to get into a lot of that. To know absolutely. So when you have a trial and we think about these things, we know absolutely. Because God has said X, Y, and Z to us. So despite what I see, feel, touch, hear, God is working something here and He's preparing you, me, whoever, for eternity. And we don't want to fight against that. We obviously want to understand so we can grow. And it's always important that we ask questions when that happens. But I'm going to talk to Luann and my mother, who was not a member, as you know, but also Lisa's mother. Two out of three women were women of faith. They were converted people. And when it came time, their cancer was terminal. The doctors have all these plans they want to do, which is fine. Nothing wrong if you want to do that. But they both said, all three of them said, no. No. You know, I'm willing to face this part of my life. And it's what it is. It is part of living. It's part of life. And we just wish it weren't difficult. Anybody here never had a trial? I was pretty sure about that one. Knowing this is a faith, that the testing, the trying, to know absolutely that a great variety of applications this word can be used, be aware of, another way of putting it, have known or perceive, be resolved. Now, you see these different words because you have to take it in context. And I kind of laugh at Paul's writings. Now, Andy, I know Hebrew doesn't have punctuation or very little, and Greek's pretty much the same way, isn't it? They don't have a lot. Yeah, the original. So you will see sometimes these run-on sentences in the Scripture. They go forever. I mean, it's like I'm exaggerating, 40, 50, 60 words. And you go, where's the commas? Where's the, periods here? Well, where they do put them in is because the translators have stuck it in there to try to help English readers to see it. But in most Hebrews, Andy was saying, and Greek, especially the old school, they didn't have punctuation marks. So they assumed that the reader would, the word won't come into my mind. They would just naturally know what the implication of it, how it was written, what it would mean. We have to kind of do this dissecting thing. So when you read this kind of material, you need to read it carefully. Look for keywords. Look for keywords and examine that through a simple concordance. The ESORT is very good about that. When you go to the King James Plus, you'll see this kind of material that's on the screen here. And you can highlight it with your mouse. Go over that. If you don't understand that, Mr. Abbott will help you out later. But you take that and you put that over and it'll light up a box and it'll show you all that you're seeing here. So it's in a great variety of applications, this word, knowing, which means beware of. So when you're going through a trial, it's okay to say you're aware of this, whatever's going on, and you're aware that with faith, you're going to come out better, you're going to come out stronger. Be aware of, have known or knowledge, perceive, be resolved. So when a trial comes, you can try to use context. Be resolved that this is going to work for your good. You don't know how it's all going to pan out. You don't know the steps from here to here to here. You don't know. So you have to learn to be resolved, and it could be understand. And I left this of the technical information a little bit. The King James uses this word 223 times. Sometimes it helps you see it's a very powerful word, and sometimes you'll see it's only used once or twice in all the Scripture. Again, indicating its special meaning in certain things. But the trying of your faith works patience. So now we want to look at this, as he says here, from 1382, the next part of this verse and say, don't worry about all the technical stuff. A testing by implication trustworthiness. So God is testing our trustworthiness and our depths of faith when we face long, hard trials. Or they can be short, but devastating trials. You say, well, I don't want to be tested that way. Get in line. I don't know anybody who does. But it happens, doesn't it? Did God put a hedge around Jesus? No, otherwise he wouldn't be our Savior. He had to suffer for us. So thankfully, he's already suffered for us so that we could claim healings, or spiritual renewal, spiritual healing, whatever it may be, that it's there. But the test is there to test our trustworthiness. So again, say, good. You know, I'd rather I weren't tested like that. Job certainly would have liked to wave off on that one, that all that he went through. But God wants us our faith to be trustworthy. He can trust you. So when he places you into his family, you're changed from mortal to immortal. You'll have that perfect character, which all this is key to developing. Key to developing these things. And it helps you. I hope I don't speak out of school, but you know, Ward and others of you who've lost a mate, you know, to illness, it was literally just, you know, hell on earth when you're going through it, if I may use that phrase. But now, despite what you've gone through, you're stronger for it. And if we've allowed it to work, its patient work in us, we can become more understanding of others. But God has to test our trustworthiness through a trial, through trying. And as we kind of kidded around that, I'd rather not be that way. I just would like to be baptized. See if any of you grab onto that. I would like to be baptized and given a free ticket into the kingdom. Yeah, I've got my little ticket right here. But, you know, that isn't it, because God wants to create character, His character in us. And sometimes we stirred away from that, not deliberately or all that bad attitude, but because it was necessary. I think I can read this without getting emotional. You'll know that Fred and Sue Whitlark, their granddaughter has cancer. And she's like 6 years old, I believe, something, four, wow. And they had to put her back in the hospital. If you're a Facebook guy, let's hope I can find it. He wrote this, and I go, whoa. As you know, he is a nurse, and so he sees a lot of suffering and things in life. He's gone through his own personal severe trials. But just like us, when you come through the other side, you're more mature. You're closer to God if we've done it the way we're told here. And we can be more valuable instruments in God's hands. But our trustworthiness of our faith and our commitment that we've made to God is the reason life is a test for us. Now, many folks in the world, they go through a lot of these same trials. But for true Christians, those trials are so important because God is going to have sons and daughters with perfect character who think like He does and will be superb teachers, not just because they've learned what this and that word means, but because they've lived it. They've lived it. Anyway, Brian wrote this to Fred and Sue Whitlock, who are one of the elders down in Dallas, and their little four-year-old granddaughter has cancer, and they're treating her, and they think she's going to be all right, but it's still difficult. She's lost all her hair, and she lost, not that she's, so it's very difficult for them. And Brian writes this as a nurse who works in the ER and so forth. I have seen many families with sick children, and I am convinced they are the strongest people on the planet. So again, he's talking to Sue and the rest of the family, the little one is going through this. To stay calm and supportive and shower a child with love while fear and anger are always in the back of their minds without the child ever knowing it, is awe-inspiring. I pray this trial only bonds your family closer and ends up a blessing for you all. It is an opportunity for all of us to learn more about unconditional love, sacrifice, and empathy. Your trial strengthens all of us by seeing your example. Thank you to the Baker family. We're all praying for you. And that's from Brian. My wife tried to read it to me, but she couldn't. Yeah. And because you get emotional. But really what has happened here, and I'm not going to tell him I've done this because then he wants me to be nice to him all the time. But the things that he's gone through in life have matured him. That's the same for all of us. The things we go through test our commitment to God Almighty. There is no more important thing going on in this world than what God's doing with His children. He's working with all of us. And we're all different places, and in His wisdom, He knows how to handle us all the time. And how to work, because He is wise. So I'm hoping when we're done here today, you'll have more wisdom in knowing how to face the good or the bad of life. Because there's good too. Well, you know that. I got 3 little grandchildren. And that's awesome. So we enjoy that. We enjoy that. And as you do. But life is designed for us to grow into the very character, the very thinking that God has. Now we continue this. We read, knowing that this trying of your faith works patience. And that pistis is the word for faith. It's a persuasion. We don't need to read all of this. The credence, moral conviction of, in this case, religious truth or truthfulness of God or religion, but especially one in this green book, especially reliance upon our Christ for Savior, for our Savior. That's what, if you see the Vine's Concordance, talks about that. By extension, truth itself. So in other words, when you're going through this, knowing that the trying of your faith produces assurance, belief, faith, fidelity with God. We're talking about fidelity with God. You come out of those trials more than you went in with, because you have character. Can't overemphasize that. We talked about that a lot over the years. I've been 40-something years in the church, and we heard a lot about that. And then kind of we sort of backed off. Not that we don't believe it, but we kind of need to get back to it. There's nothing more important than character and godly character, and that's really what we're seeing here. But he says, now there's a process. And so let's take a look here at verse 4 of James 1. But let patience, and we'll see what that we're talking about here, have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, the same word, Greek 50-46, and perfect and entire, wanting for nothing. So again, as he says here, you can see the word 1382, testing, can by implication mean trustworthiness. We talked about that, trial or trying. So he wants to establish our trustworthiness. And then we go through and hit the next word, and I'm not hitting all of them, but we'll come back in a minute and do some more. Perfection is various applications of labor, growth, mental and moral character. As a noun, it can mean completeness, a full age man, mature, teleos, in other words. These tests, the things we go through in life, are to make spiritual men and women out of us. See? And we can't stay as children just wanting the milk of the word. We have to grow up and begin to eat solid foods, it says in Hebrews and other places. And one of the ways we do that is through, how do we come to full age? It's, as we go through the scriptures, this is one of the greatest things we learn as we go through a trial. So, if you're not in a trial now, guarantee it's coming. Because God wants to test the trustworthiness of your calling. And sometimes you go, why does he even question? Well, because it needs to be questioned. Our calling is beyond recognition, beyond importance. Not importance, but comprehension. What God is doing is preparing His family, who will be, when they're changed, at the moment, twinkling of an eye, who will have that perfect character. They will be like God the Father and Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you and me. So again, this is very important. These trials are absolutely necessary. So that's why it says, count it all joy, or have a steadfast, silent confidence. That's the joy of it. A steadfast, quiet confidence. When your grandbaby is sick, does it cut your heart out? You bet it does. But you say, we're going through a process here. And God will see me through it. Now, let's move on. If any of you lack, we're now in verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. You can ask God for wisdom. That gives to all, and God gives wisdom and whatever we ask for in liberality. Okay? He's not going to be stingy with it. Nor will he upbraid you. We've talked about this many times. He's not going to say, what? You've been in the church 40 years and you still whine to me like this? He's not going to do that. He's going to say, here's where you are. And just because you've been in church a long time doesn't mean you're mature. Hopefully there's a maturity there. But it's not a given. That's why we have to always be growing. Anyway, he'll give to men liberally and not upbraid them or insult them. We'll get that in just a minute. And not and it shall be given him. So again, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, double spirited. Don't doubt. Don't go wavering back and forth. God said, I can walk with silent encouragement. I can, and I've got to go back so I can get this right here and I'll come back. Okay. With a calm delight, the second blue box. You walk through the, if you will, calm delight. Think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They faced what they faced with the what's his name? Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, you're going to be thrown in the fire and so forth. You're going to be thrown to the lions and so forth. And they had that quiet, steady faith. They serve God. We are his servant. And this is what we want to do. And so when we face a trial, the idea is to make us stronger, help us to grow. And I don't know any more important thing than that. The trustworthiness of our faith and our belief. And even the fidelity of it. Okay, I'll go one more. If any of you lack... Okay, I've already said that one. But now, 46, where it says Sophia, or wisdom. In other words, we talk about wisdom in this verse. Higher or lower, worldly or spiritual. It had a broad application in the day. And to ask or to pray in generally... you can call for help, call for guidance, crave it. You can desire it. See, this word that we're looking at, 4680, has all of these various meanings, but you have to learn to apply it in context. And again, God, the one below that from, G3681, he's not going to defame you. He's not going to mock you for not knowing more. In fact, he rejoices when he says, oh, okay, you've been through this and this trial, and you know, we didn't always do very good, but you've gone to this point now, and now you're facing this trial, and you're doing it with maturity. You have that confidence in your demeanor that, yeah, I'm going through this or that other thing, but it's nothing compared to what God has for us. And we have the privilege of being called into that now. So, God won't defame you, that is, to chide you, to taunt you, even cast the teeth, it's sort of a way of going, I can't believe you. Yeah, you open your mouth, I can't believe you don't know that. So when you kind of look at these phrases, this is what it says. Alright, so let's move on. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and without reproach or upbraiding. Not that it should be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In these words, not even one man or woman is going to get away with that. So you can see, it can mean nothing. The word say we have the word nothing can also mean without delay. So, but let him ask in faith that your faith has a quiet confidence to it, because you have been there You've been through this and that trial, whatever it may be. God saw you through those. And you grew from that. And here's a new one. And you had that same quiet, calm face as you walk into the fiery furnace, whatever that may be. See? So the word nothing here means not even one man or woman or thing, any man or thing. In other words, none. Nothing without delay. So the whole purpose again is to produce his holy, righteous character, and we will lack nothing when we're resurrected. For he that waveth or doubts or let me get the King James word here, 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the fro. And let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-spirited. He has two mindsets. That's why it says mind, double-minded man. And it makes you unstable in all your ways. So this is very important for spiritual maturity. And if you fight with it, you argue with it, you're in your mind, basically because we're frightened, we don't know how to face this, it just seems overwhelming. But go back over these verses, dissect them. I'm just barely dissecting. You'll walk away and this is serious business we're about. This is serious business. God wants us to face any trial with that kind of quiet confidence that God is in my life. He's the leader of my life. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior and all that means. And God is creating within me His character. Wow. See? And we've had that privilege. So again, this word that we wavereth means separate thoroughly. That is literally and reflectively withdraw from or the implication, oppose figuratively to discriminate by implication. We'll get it. Hesitate, contend. Don't hesitate and argue with it. We will face this in faith, whatever it is, and we'll see what God will do. What does God have in mind? I know what He has in mind ultimately. That I be lacking nothing spiritually. That I be ready for the kingdom. This is what we're talking about. So you can use any context here. He that wavers can mean he doubts. He's judging, but impartially, if you will. You don't stagger at it. See how these different applications can help us understand. Don't stagger at it. Now, we will stagger at it. But that's why we go back and look at these verses. And say, yeah, I forgot that one. Let's go back and have a conversation with God and say, okay, I can see by my reaction, I'm not there yet. And I want to be there yet. Help me through the Holy Spirit, God's mind working in you, to have that quiet, calm face, if you will. Like it says in that we've already talked about, as I go through this fiery trial. I think of what was it, Stephen, when he was being stoned? He wasn't cussing the guys out, screaming for revenge. He had that quiet, confident faith, and some traditions even said his face showed it. And he was calm, full of faith, and knowing that he was dying. That's tremendous faith, tremendous character. And I know Mrs. Gaiman, give me a church of her. She's wise. She was kind, and she knew when you have a home church, you know, people come to your home. Sometimes it can get a little dicey. Who's coming and what was said? Who did what? She never made a misjudgment of how things should be done. She's very wise lady. Anyway, so we don't want to waver or doubt. Okay, this one wasn't used too many times. It's only used 19 times. All right, so let's take a look here. Let's sort of paraphrase what we've been saying. This is from the New Living Translation of the verses of James 1, verse 1 through, actually 2 through 7. And it's a paraphrase. But let's see how the paraphrase sounds. Maybe help us to sort of see it in a better light. This letter is from James, a slave, a doulos of God. He's a servant of God. He considers himself a slave to God, not to sin, Romans 6:16. a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes that we call the diaspora, the tribes spread out. And again, they say Jewish believers, but that's not exactly right. But it should have said Israelite believers anyway. Believers scattered abroad. This is greetings. And then it says, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. It's another way of kind of putting it all together. That was verse 2. Great joy. Why? Anybody want to, I don't normally do this, but if you want to, I'm going to ask you, why do that? What he just said. Consider, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I've already said it. I don't want to put you on. Because you know what God is doing in your life. You're creating, He is creating character. He is creating character. And one way we do that, and I didn't write it down, but I think it's in Hebrews, you learn right from wrong through properly discerning the Word of God. Not like Adam and Eve wanted. They're just going to decide for themselves. But you learn, I believe it's in Hebrews, you learn what the truth is that God wants us to learn by using the Word, using the Scripture, listening to it. Anyway, dear brothers and sisters, verse 2, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So you learn to endure. And maybe you endure 1 year, maybe you endure 2 years, maybe you endure 50. You know, you endure that. And you know, with my mother passing away, she was a devout Catholic, so she really didn't understand a lot of things. But, for me, and this is a great strength, I think it is for all of us. When you first know, God's not trying to save everybody now. He loves them all. He's already provided a sacrifice for them once they accepted in faith. And so, as one of those people called and chosen by God, remember, many are called, few are chosen. What's the chosen? They respond to the calling. Chosen doesn't mean perfect. It means they're responding. And as you can see from looking around, not many respond. They listen, but they don't respond. So anyway, so those of us who are listening and responding, when we see these verses, hopefully they'll inspire you to look at what you're going through with a different eye. For you know that when your faith is tested, verse 2, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be teleos, perfect, mature, and complete, needing nothing. God has finished it, and you lack nothing as you face life with a calm, you know, spirit, shall we say, your calm mind, your calm attitude. And no, are you enjoying it? No. Is it something you hope just goes on and on and on? Well, no, not, you know, no. But you know that it produces God's character in you. You know you're growing in faith. Will you fall on your fat little face later on? Those of you who have fat little faces, like me. Yeah. But that's why we repent and pick ourselves up and you say, thank you. Again, I enjoy and privileged and have this freedom to come to you and to talk to you. I messed up again. And that's not your way. That's not your mind. That's not your character. Forgive me. And now let us walk whatever it is. If you have to go rewalk it again or just learn the lessons learned and be aware. The next time you may face the same kind of thing, or at least typical. Because God wants to be sure you are needing nothing when you're resurrected from the dead, if we're dead when Christ comes back, or changed at the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, come back now to verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. You see, so what do you need in wisdom? You're asking God, okay, this is hard, it hurts, it whatever, it's very difficult. I want to learn what you want me to learn, and I want to do it with a steady, steadfast faith that is shown again in those words we talked about, with joy. With joy. And I'm going to go back to that again because I think it's important. We'll come back to all this. Okay. They want test your trustworthiness. I should have made two copies of that page. Yeah. A calm delight. It's a calm delight in your mind. You're facing it. You don't enjoy it, but you have a calm delight. Those of you who've lost your mates and you were close to them, it hurts, but there's a peace that surpasses all understanding, right? Those of you who have done that. And in that faith, you have a, as it says, a calm delight about you. Where you, even in that time, can encourage someone else. And Luann was very good about that too. So anyway, now let's move forward. There's this calmness of faith that shows on your face as well as in you, what you do for life, what you do during your life. Okay. Now it's interesting here, where the word nothing again, to try and get the English word nothing, they had to try these three Greek words. The three Greek words to try and describe to us nothing. So again, the Greek is very rich in all that. I just thought I'd put that in there. So you'll be wavering, don't waver. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. You can say, I don't understand it. I don't like it. You said it. I'm buying. I'm believing it. For he that wavers, his faith is off and on, is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed about. Again, I think that's pretty literally there for us to see. Again, now, verse 7. This letter, again, we've already done that one. I don't need to hit that. So the question really shouldn't be, have you had trials? That's the wrong question. Because we know we all do. And the important thing is when we get into this kind of life and we have our Christian life, we have difficulties, we have great blessings, we have it all. And so when we go through trial, it is important that we ask the right question. And the right question is not, why do I have to go through this? That is not the right question. You want to ask the right questions. And you can just find it, have a discussion with God while you read these verses here. You know, you said this and I believe you. I believe you in my pain. I believe you in my joy. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. But anyway, ask the right question. Otherwise, if you ask the wrong questions, you're going to get the wrong answer to your question. Does that make any sense? So I thought I'd grab this. So you saw a robot movie. There's a police detective trying to figure out what somebody killed this guy in this movie. It's called Robot or something like that. Yeah. So, and he is, what do they call that? A projection on the wall?
A hologram.
A hologram. Yeah. Get up here. It's a hologram. See, Mr. Abbott, I get it. Okay. These young people. I'll tell you in my day. So anyway, he was talking to this projection. Is that what it was? Hologram. And it's like he's really there, although it appears like he jumped out of a window to kill himself, blah, blah, blah. So the policeman is talking to this projection, and the projection is programmed to only answer certain questions. And finally, when he asks the right question, we see this. This is the right question. Just try to lighten it up for a second. That's why I put this nonsense thing in here. We don't want to see our trials through colored glasses, or what do they call that? Sorry, my mind. Rose, that's right, colored glasses. You know, that only worked for so long. But what we're talking about is just at a gut level, honest before God in faith. I want to talk to you about this or that or whatever's in my life, whatever's in my mind. And you've made these promises to me. And we've been reading them. Let's read them again right from Scripture. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So have that steadfast calmness in your face is really what joy means. Knowing, that's the statement of faith. You know that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, or so I'll say perseverance. But then there's a work. Patience is like somebody on a work crew, and he's got his work to do, And then when he's done that part of the work, someone else, another part of the work will come in. So here's the guy called Patience. He's working on the job site, and you're the job site. But let patience have its perfect work. It's, and again, the teleos, the completing, the maturing. So that it's never designed to knock us down. It's designed to help us to mature and grow. That you may be perfect, teleos, see again, complete, lacking nothing. This is a thorough business that God is in it with us. And we, one thing we've talked about it before, is to be thankful for your calling. So when you really are thankful for it, and hard times hit, you're strengthened by that. I know I love God the Father, and I love Jesus Christ, and I love what He's doing in my life. And here I am facing this difficulty, but you know what? He said, through this process, I'll come out needing thoroughly, completely ready, needing nothing when Christ comes back. That's why these things happen in our lives. No one enjoys illness. No one enjoys death. No one enjoys persecution. No one enjoys loneliness. No one enjoys, you name it. But God said, if you look to me in this attitude we've been talking about, you will grow. You will really, really grow. And you'll be maturing and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Because He's the one doing the work in us. Okay. So, let patience have its perfect work. To ask, we started this sermon, to ask that, have you had any trials, is the wrong question. Remember, now we're back to this. We've got to ask the right question. What is the purpose of being patient through trials? Because it's a perfecting work that God is doing in our lives. There's a perfecting work because God wants you, male, female, doesn't matter, young person, doesn't matter, wants us to grow and become like Him. And those of us who have kids or grandkids, you want to see that in your children. You want your kids to have the good part of you. And if they don't, that's your wife's problem. Okay. All right. So anyway, I wanted to cover that subject because I know our congregation, we go through a series of trials, then it kind of calms down. Then well, now we're entering into a whole series of trials. Can anybody say holy days are approaching? So, if you've been around a long time, you might remember before Passover seemed to be when the trials got worse. Now it's all year long. Because Satan is upping his stakes. So let's ask the right question so we can be patient and let God's perfecting work through studying His Word, through yielding ourselves mentally and emotionally to the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, which is His mind. He is implanting, not possessing us, but He's implanting His mind into ours. It doesn't get any more special than that. It doesn't get any more beautiful than that. So again, ask the right questions. Look in faith so that it can have its perfect work so that you'll be full and lacking nothing.